It is from her, where you come from. It is from her, these seeds were sown. Your DNA and mine, generations and bloodlines.
Fabric made that shit classic. That shit ain't average. We did. Who did music? Made that shit language. African branded. We did. Who took movement? Spirit included. Made it a movement. We did. Who's the origin? Straight from the soil and then redistributed. Who did?
This is Zambia. The dedication of these young Zambians that will carry us to our goal. This is a land of progress. For progress cannot wait.
Never forget future ancient, our souls that will never get old. Information passed down for generation.
Welcome to Africa 500 podcast. Welcome to Diaspora for another fiery show. Today is February 8th, another Wednesday at 3 p.m. And of course, we are celebrating this as Black History Month, a.k.a. we have changed it a little bit to Pan-African Heritage Month. We want to celebrate our African folks across the diaspora, continent to continent. We have a fabulous show for you all today. We're going to be celebrating African women trailblazers Florence Torrance Hart and Nana Odoja Sifa. Both Ghanaian women who are doing just some amazing work, brilliant work across entrepreneurship, across the diaspora. So we're going to talk to them in a little bit, but of course, as usual, I'm just going to give you all a little news headlines just to keep you up to date on what's going on with our folks across the diaspora. And of course, we've been speaking about Florida. Governor DeSantis, he has banned AP African American Studies. So we know the war continues. We must continue to battle the erasure of our African story, our African ancestors. I have here a news headline, Florida Board of Education removes Africa from world maps. This can't be real, right? This is in Florida. Also, we see that they are starting to remove books. Again, this is still Florida. Teachers are pulling off books. There is a list I printed out, 30 books, look here, Brother Richard, that they are trying to ban. Bluest Eyes, they're taking off. The 57 Bus, they are questioning that. The Hate U Give, which became a movie. Damsel, Nowhere Girls, The House on Mango Street. This is in Florida, everybody. Also in Florida, they redid, remember we talked about that, the African American AP Studies course, and they have, as they say, they have watered it down, that's what we'll say. They have purged the names of many Black writers and scholars associated with critical race theory, the queer experience, Black feminism, even taking out topics like Black Lives Matter. and this is what they're doing in Florida. I wanted to mention also, they removed scholars like Kimberly Crenshaw, Roderick Ferguson, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and Bell Hooks, just to name a few. Now, if they removed them, this is no longer African-American history. No, this is no longer African-American history. But it goes to the need, as we've talked about in our series, that we have got to educate our own. We got to have our own schools. We got to have our own schools. We got to teach our children who they are and where they come from. Also, we know we've been talking a little bit about this Black-on-Black violence, which is across continents of African people. We mentioned Tyree Nichols. 5 Black officers killed him. Maya Morton, this is in Baltimore. Her and her sons were in a car trying to get food. They got caught in crossfire. She has died. 2 of her sons are in critical care. Also, we know in Philadelphia, 7 to 18 children beat to death elder James Lambert. This was last year. And, of course, we know that more so than ever, all this Black-on-Black violence goes to a lack of self-love, which is a lack of self-knowledge. Thus, we need to know our story. Very important, very important, very important. I want to talk a little bit, I saw this article about archaeology. We have folks in the Niagara Falls doing some very important work. They talk about how archaeology is rooted in racism and colonialism, but there's this very good project, Secret Agents of the Underground Railroad, where they're uncovering stories. This is this hotel that was built, Cardiac House, in 1825. People like Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, King George stayed there. But in the kitchen, the hallways, was a lifeline for thousands of enslaved Black people seeking freedom. Very important, these stories that we know. Just amazing. So look that up, The Secret Agents of the Underground Railroad. Also, I saw another article. This is in Zimbabwe, where at the height they had 18,000 people. But it was an amazing kingdom. But what they're discovering is how they conserved and reserved water. Isn't it? This is amazing, how they reserved water throughout the year, even in the dry season. Please look it up. We may have to send Kofi way back for solutions to all the water drought, to the climate change going on. We may have to go back to go forward for our folks in on the continent and also across the African nations. Very important. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back to our guest today, and we're going to begin our fabulous conversation.
Let's get started.
Yeah, yeah, this is my palace. Champagne in my chalice. I got it all covered like a wedding band. Wonderland, so my alias is Alice. And we gon' start a mother riot. Or we gon' have to put them on a diet. Look at that, I guarantee I got them quiet. Look at that, I guarantee they all inspired. A-Town made it out there. Straight out Kansas City, yeah, we made it out there. Celebrated, graduated, made it pass fail. Sassy, classy, Kool-Aid with the kale. Mama was a G, she was cleaning hotels. Papa was a driver, I was working retail. Kept us in the back of the store, we ain't hitting no more moonlit. Already got the Oscar for the Casa. Running down Grammys with the family. Probably give a Tony to the homies. Probably get an Emmy dedicated to the highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, we highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, Geminati still jamming. Box office numbers and they doing outstanding. Running out of space in my damn bandwagon. Remember when they used to say I look too mannish? Black girl magic, y'all can't stand it. Y'all can't ban it, made out like a bandit. They've been trying hard just to make us all vanish. I suggest they put a flag on a whole nother planet. Jane Bond, never Jane Doe. And I Django, never Sambo. Black and white, yeah, that's always been my camo. It's looking like y'all gon' need some more ammo. I cut them off, I cut them off, I cut them off like Van Gogh. Now, damn right for the angle. I got away with murder, no scandal. Cue the violins and violas. We gave you life.
That was Janelle Monae, Django Jane. Earlier, that first song was Sama the Great out of Zambia. If you saw Black Panther, you heard her song. I am loving this new, this generation of melanated young women. They just fire, just fire. So let's go ahead and begin, because we got some fire online with us today. Again, we are having African Women Trailblazers, Florence Torrance Hart, and also we have Nana Doja Sifa. We're going to begin today. We're going to start with Florence Torrance Hart. My sister, are you with us today?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. She is the president of the U.S. Chamber, U.S. Ghana Chamber of Commerce, based in Philadelphia, but you work across the continents. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yes. And I've seen how you do it. I figure you don't sleep no more.
Oh, you know, the fact that it's difficult doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, right?
Mm.
We do it because it is necessary.
Well, we're going to get into it with that, and that's something we got to keep all year. And we've had a lot of spectacular guests on like yourself, Florence, that they have the same mindset. Even though it's difficult, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I want you to talk to our diaspora audience and tell them about the U.S. Chamber of Ghana of Commerce. What's the objective? What made you create this? Because it's a very powerful organization. I've seen you in action, but also I've seen the amazing effect it has across the oceans. Speak to us a little bit.
So the U.S. Ghana Chamber of Commerce started really in 2012. It started in Philadelphia, and the founding members were businessmen in Ghana, businessmen and professionals in Ghana and in the United States. And the reason the chamber was founded was because we definitely realized there were business opportunities that are available in Ghana and in the United States too. But we did not have one community or platform that would allow for the exchange of ideas and information and provide orientation and the resources that are available to turn dreams into to reality. And so that is what the chamber does. It provides a platform for people to learn about the opportunities on both sides, learn about the resources that are available, and also bring in key resource people from Ghana, specifically to the United States, and also send key resource persons from the United States to Ghana too, so that we can have this cross-continental exchange of ideas and opportunities.
Let me ask you, Florence, as you talk, I was able to attend the conference you had in Philadelphia last year, and it was just amazing to be in it. When, as you talk, we know when we think about Ghana, we think about, of course, Kwame Nkrumah. And I see the work that you do, and Nana Adoh-Jazeera, it's building on the vision. His whole thing was Pan-African, that these two groups of people, despite being separated by horrific circumstances, that it was the power to connect that would lift them. Can you speak about the importance of connecting these ones that have been separated for centuries together again in the way of business and economic uplift?
You know, Tamiko,
yes.
It's interesting you should say that. Did you know that when I worked in Ghana, I worked at the W.E. Du Bois Center for Pan-Africanism for 10 years? And so for 10 years, I was preaching this. Wow. The commonality, the reason why we had to come together, and our shared successes, right, that would come out as a result of this partnership that is so necessary. And so when I lived in Ghana, I think I traveled to the U.S., did a 10-state speaking tour, trying to explain to African Americans, right, why it was important that they connect to the motherland and to Ghana, and why it was important that we all come together, not only for cultural reasons, but also businesses and social, everything related to upward mobility and development. And so it's like you're giving me the platform to do that all again, and I'm very excited about that.
I love
because it is super important. It is super important. I remember when I worked at the Du Bois Center, I could not understand the emotion, right, that African Americans feel when they come to Ghana, almost this sense of spirituality and reverence. And so when I worked at the Du Bois Center, I used to talk about Pan-Africanism and the need for Pan-Africanism. Guess what? So I am Ghanaian, my husband is African American. And my children are African and American, right? So you see how everything sort of works out the way it's supposed to on a personal level, right? Now, doing the work at the chamber, I think that it is important that the African American community and other members of the African diaspora understand the opportunities that are available. Because if we don't do that, for me, it's like we're getting colonized all over again. We can't have only the Chinese people, other races, right, come and take advantage of these resources that are available when we have our brothers and sisters who could benefit from tapping into those opportunities too. So it is super important that we come together, that we explain these opportunities to everybody. But it seems like the Ghana government is sort of doing the right things in the strategic branding of Ghana and being welcoming of the diaspora to Ghana And also, I know they are working on this, is it right of return?
Yes. Bill?
Mm-hmm. And other things that are in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So I get to see this. I spoke about this world almost 20, 30 years ago.
Wow.
And now it's bearing fruit, and I cannot be happier.
You know, it's amazing. You know, you also speak to the need to be committed. All the guests that we've had on, when you say Brother Richard, they are like committed. They sacrifice, whether it's one person in the room or 2,000. They're going to push the uplift. You know, as you speak, Florence, you talk about if we don't connect, it's like we'd be colonized all over again. And Kwame Nkrumah and some of his readings, and also you mentioned W.D. Du Bois Center. When we went to Ghana, y'all, that was like the first thing you need to go visit, right? I didn't even know. I was blown away. I told all black when I got back, I'm like, you got to go to Ghana. And the W.E.B. Du Bois, who's one of our reverend scholars, Kwame Nkrumah set up in his later years, he was able to stay in Ghana, but they have a whole museum with his works. It's amazing. It just blows your mind. His works, the books he read. So when you said that, Florence, it came over my head. I was in there. I was like, I could live here. So you have to go. But when you talk about being colonized all over again, and this is what Kwame Nkrumah was trying to avoid. One of our scholars, Zimbabwe, I can't remember his name, but he said that when independence happened, we thought that was the end, the independence of our African countries. He said, actually, that was the beginning. He said, and so as a result, we had like a neo-colonialism that occurred because we wasn't ready. And Kwame Nkrumah talks about how we hadn't had our people train, right, to take these positions. Can you speak to the importance of you changing the narrative on entrepreneurship? How important it is that our entrepreneurs, whether on the continent, the motherland, or here, be ready to take on business opportunities when they come.
I think that every generation has a responsibility to build on the work that the previous generation did. So maybe the previous generation was talking about the blueprint. Hmm. Now this generation actually gets to execute elements of that, which is why I'm very excited about the business, the fact that we have a lot of diaspora entrepreneurs going to Ghana.
So, Florence, you were saying how with this generation that they were actually building on a blueprint, and they're actually executing what was laid before them. I never heard it explained like that. Can you flesh that out a little bit?
Well, so, I mean, Ghana is a developing country, which means there are a lot of opportunities that are new, that are existing, and that are upcoming. We have a diasporan community that is getting increasingly conscious about their responsibility and their desire to be part of the growth that is happening on the African continent. Smart Money says that most of the growth that is going to happen in the world is going to come from places like Ghana and other African countries because of the demographics and the stage of the development of the economies there. So we have talented people in the diaspora who could take advantage of these emerging opportunities and be part of the growth. You're also going to do it in a way that is also satisfying, in the sense that as a black person, I keep telling everybody, it doesn't matter how high you go, so long as when Donald Trump called countries in Africa as whole countries, right? It affected everybody. It didn't matter if you were a doctor, a lawyer, there was no distinction. So we have that responsibility, I feel, it's my opinion, right? To make sure that we are developing Africa, because whether we like it or not, somehow the world intertwines our development and the development of the continent. Wouldn't you rather be part of something that is going to be far-reaching? Look at the impact that you are able to make when you tap into those resources. So I think that it is essential that we don't leave it to other races. There's a place for other races, but we have a primary responsibility, I think, both culturally, economically, to take advantage of these opportunities.
I like that you say we have a primary responsibility, and I think that's taking ownership, and that's what I see in the work you do. I wanted to ask about, so our diaspora audience can get a sense, your signature brand conferences that you have. I noticed when I attended Philly last year, you are not hesitant about putting the entrepreneurs and business people right in front of the Ghanaian business owners, government officials. I mean, we're in the same space, and we intermingling. And these are people maybe we only read about in papers or heard about, and you have us all in the same space. How are you able to do that?
Well, I think that if you're able to sell the vision and remind people of your common goals, it is easier to get people to talk to each other. So for businesses in the United States, they are looking to grow. They are looking to expand their markets. So where are the growth markets? Africa is one of them. And then you take a look at the governments in Ghana that are also looking to attract businesses, and they have all of these incentives that people do not know about. So it just made sense to bring these people together to talk to each other. Plus, we also have the U.S. government has certain resources that they make available to companies that are looking to invest in Africa. And one of the things that came out of that conference in Philadelphia, the first U.S.-Ghana Business and Trade Expo, was the fact that a lot of institutions in America do not get the opportunity to tell people about the resources that are available because we don't talk to each other. And if we do, we don't do that on a consistent basis. That is one of the things that the chamber is going to change. We are going to do, we are going to be consistent, and we're going to be deliberate about making sure we have this continuing dialogue. Because, Tamiko, if you wanted to do something in Ghana, most likely you're using your own resources to do that. Wouldn't you want to know if the U.S. government can support you in doing that?
Definitely.
I just think it just makes sense. And so, it's not a personal thing. It's just the fact that once people understand the platform that is being provided and the resources that are available and the quality, I think what the chamber is doing is improving the quality of those dialogues in a way that is more democratic, so that you don't have to be a member of some country club somewhere alone to have access to that information, and that everybody can get access to the information, meet the right people, so that we sort of have an equal shot.
You know, as you
because
talk,
when you get the information, it's up to you what you do with it.
As you talk, you mentioned, I want to ask you about the marketplaces. Which marketplace is important? But first, I wanted to mention when I was there, and you talk about connecting resources, there was a Ghanaian business person. I forget what their product was, but the U.S. government, and this is in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, we got to remember, is a huge state, but they have a lot of farmland, which was brought to my attention when I attended your conference. And so the U.S. government was able to give the person, I think, a warehouse, but they was able to give them a lot of land to bring their business. I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about. They extended in Pennsylvania. So you're right. The U.S. government, they do have a lot of resources. And everyone is in a position right now, I think, with the economy and what's going on across the political landscape, that the continents need each other. And people are realizing that Africa is needed. You can't survive or live on the planet without Africa.
You cannot. And talking about that, Pennsylvania, rightfully, is a very big agricultural state, right? And what is Ghana looking for? The biggest industry in Ghana is the agricultural industry. The difference is that in Ghana, the agriculture is not as mechanized as it is here.
Yes, you talked about that, yes.
So you have, yes, you have companies here that have the experience and the resources and looking to expand their market to a country that is looking for the same things that the companies in Pennsylvania can offer.
Because if you talk, I know when we went to Ghana last year, one thing, as you mentioned, equipment is a big thing. Lack of equipment, lack of machinery. You can still see our brothers and sisters farming by hand, picking weeds, because they lack the equipment, the machinery. And so you're absolutely right. If one continent has it, why not connect? And agriculture is it is one of the main industries in the motherland. So it's very much needed. And I want to attend your conference.
And think
definitely.
About it too. Mm-hmm. Also, food security is very important. If COVID taught us anything, it taught us that, right? There are certain basic industries that have to be, that are important to the survival of any country. Food, mm-hmm. water, certain things. And so it just makes sense. And plus, the U.S. government has programs that would support companies in the United States that would want to ship those products to Ghana, a place like Ghana. Mm-hmm. So having the conference brings all of these parties in one room. Hopefully, the deals are made, and then everybody is happy.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Florence, what marketplaces should we be aware of, or like premier marketplaces right now to tap into this type of Pan-African business connection? I know you mentioned agriculture. What other marketplaces?
Oh, in terms of industries.
Mm-hmm. Investment.
So, yeah. So I think that the Ghana government has established this industrial park. You know, I don't know if you heard the former Minister of Trade and Industry talk about these industrial parks and zones that they have established. So those supplies, machinery, and the petrochemical industry, garment industry. We have programs like AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunities Act, that offers all of these opportunities even in textile manufacturing that is not being utilized, you know, to the max, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is what, and then technology. You went to Ghana. Sometimes I think they're a little further ahead in their technology.
Yeah, you heard
right?
me talk about it. Yeah, I've been shipping. Yeah, the IT is so important. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, fintech. We have a lot of Ghanaian women are into the health and business, beauty industry. Some of them lack the capacity to expand their businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of even investing in some of these companies, everybody talks about ESG now, which is like the buzzword for environmental, social, and governance for businesses that uplift the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these opportunities are available. So you can either come in as a private equity venture capitalist. You can invest directly into companies. You can go into, like I said, fintech, right? You have a whole financial industry that is still underdeveloped, in my opinion, or which has a lot more business opportunities that are available. Transportation, that's a huge one, right? So we have all of these opportunities. People should come and become members of the member. We'll show them, of the chamber, right? All of these opportunities, and have them link up with good Ghanaian partners so that they can at least move from talking to something more actionable.
Let me ask you, Florence, as you speak, I know you had another conference in Accra, and we were able to sponsor two women who loved it, Linda and Anna. And gone. It was a whole day. And after they told me about it, I'm like, it should have been 2 days. I know I'm throwing work on you, Florence. But they said that the workshops, the talks, they were just so inspired. Now, we've been talking about the one you did in Philadelphia, the trade investment. The one in Accra, Ghana, that was focused on women and business. So can you talk to us about that? And are you doing it again?
Yeah, we are. So we are looking at the dates of March 15th. I'm 16, so I listen to you.
Okay.
So now it's going to be 2 days.
Love it.
Because we have more than 40 speakers.
Oh.
And we're trying to rush through all of this good information.
Mm-hmm.
Tavika, I'm telling you, I have to go and physically shut some of the sessions down.
Yes.
Because if I don't, we can't get through everything that we're trying to do. I have to give a big kudos to the speakers.
Yes.
Who come to Ghana from the US and all over the world. They come because they want to give up. There is no financial incentive for them. We don't.
Wow.
So they come on their own dime. Mm. But that is commitment, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is commitment. Mm-hmm. So we also want to do something that is high quality. Mm. The fact that people don't live in the United States or wherever does not mean they are not entitled to high quality information and resources.
Mm.
And so we're going to do it again in March, on March 15th and 16th,
okay.
Because we realized that one day was not enough.
Mm-mm.
And so this time we are strengthening it. So we usually will choose specific industry, both for business women and professional women, because that is also important. So we like to do something that is holistic. We take a look at the business, health, finance, entrepreneurship, marketing, branding, everything. But we also want to do things for women's wellness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do something on mental wellness for women, the legal framework for women, all of these things that are important for everybody, but it's especially important for women to be aware.
Beautiful.
And the goal of the conference is to just have some kind of skill transfer, mentoring, information session, so that we are very deliberate about who we choose to speak at the conference, because we want to make sure that you are making the impact and you share in the vision of what we're trying to do. For the chamber, it's not a profit-making thing.
Mm-mm.
It is just a way of giving back. And so we're going to do it again. And I thank you so much for your support over the years.
Oh, no. I'm impressed. The work you're doing is so important. I want to ask you, you're going to do it 2 days. As you bring all these budding entrepreneurs, agripreneurs together, what, in your opinion, as you've seen them over the years, what tools or skills do they need to grow their businesses? We've been talking a little bit about it, but we're going to talk about the not just in America, but also on the motherland too. What do they need? What tools and skills?
Well, so I start from the basics. I went to business school, so I always say that you have to always understand why you're doing particular business, right? Because that brings focus and that helps you persevere. Because as in everything that you start, it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. You will have successes, you have challenges. But in my opinion, what gets you through some of these challenges is remembering why you're doing what you're doing. I had the opportunity to speak in Ghana a couple of years ago. You don't just start a business because you want to. It makes sense. There is a reason why people go to school to learn about how to write business plans and ideas and stuff. Because when you're writing something, it allows you to think through what you're doing. And it also allows you to refine the thought process, right? So it's important that you understand how to put a business plan together. If you don't, hire somebody to do that for you. Because after a while, that becomes sort of like a blueprint, right? For what it is that you're looking to accomplish. The other thing that I also want to say is, so understand the business processes. I'm not going to go into details about what a good business plan is. I think you should come to the conference and teach on that, right? But the other thing that I also want to say is I see with everything that is happening now, there's so many distractions going on in the world now.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Because every business opportunity is a solution to a problem that exists. So in all of the chaos that is going on with this realignment that is happening in the world as a result of COVID and inflation and all these global headwinds that we are facing, there are business opportunities. So please don't get distracted. Understand the business opportunity that this chaos provides.
Mm.
And look for that And because in every cloud there's a silver lining. And so you need to do that.
Let me ask you,
go ahead, sister.
No,
the first thing I wanted to say was understand how to get your story out. And so that is the branding and the marketing. These days, it's so inexpensive to get your advertising and your branding out. So it is a good idea to understand how to use these tools, because it used to be, previously you need a lot of money to get on the air. Now you don't. Social media is equally important. So understanding how to use those tools to tell your story is critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some excellent points you bring out. We're going to go back over those. I'm going to mention them later. But I want to ask you, what do you think is the importance of mentorship with budding entrepreneurs, agripreneurs?
I think that it's very important for those who are lucky to have it, right?
Okay.
I don't know if it's available to everybody. Why would you reinvent the wheel when somebody has been through that process and can share their experience with you? It doesn't make sense to me. You want to keep batting your head against the wall, right? So having somebody, there are advantages to being young and seeing things from a different perspective. But that doesn't discount the experience that somebody who is older may also have, because they've also seen it all, right? So the best, the happy medium would be to find something in between where you are leveraging all the new perspective that youth and inexperience brings together with somebody that has been through some battles, right? And is able to tell you, share their experiences with you. And also, of course, there's a difference between a mentor and a champion, right? But somebody that will help you refine some of these things so that, can you succeed without a mentor? Yeah, it just will take you maybe twice as long to achieve your goal as you would if you have a mentor. So I think that mentorship is very important. And again, that is one of the things we try to provide at a conference for the women, you know, to have access to. I'll tell you the story. When I was growing up in Ghana, there was a gym. We didn't have a lot of women going to the gym at the time. And I remember I went to the gym and I met this African-American woman who was 50 years old. And she looked so good. But for me, the women I had met up till that point, I hadn't seen most of them do that. And so up till today, I work out a lot. And that woman does not even know she's the one that sparked that interest in me.
Wow.
So you never know.
I like how you mentioned mentors, but also you mentioned champions. We need people who will champion for. Those are very important roles, too, to get us to where we need to go. I want to ask you, who has been your mentors or who has inspired you in the work that you continue to do?
I think in terms of women's empowerment, I would say two people. You know, the former First Lady of Ghana, her name is Nana Kunedu Ajiman Rawlings. She was married to Rawlings.
Yes.
And I remember she was the one that got me thinking, really. I mean, you sort of intuitively know certain things, but she's the one that was able to crystallize it for me. I remember when I was growing up in Ghana, she had this 31st December women's thing. It was a movement to help women find daycare for their kids. And she used to say that if women know that their children are in a safe, secure place, then they can go out and find work. And when women find work, then they can be a little more assertive, a little more confident about their roles in society. And I thought that was brilliant. So she was able to carry through her vision in spite of all of the backlash that she received.
And you know, Florence is so simple. You know, sometimes we make things difficult. We gotta like do all this research, but that's so simple. It makes sense as I heard you say it.
Yeah, and the other one that that I look to is Michelle Obama. When Michelle Obama talks about women's role and the role of men, and why it is important for men to be, to the benefits of men in you know, supporting women's and you know, development, gender parity, all of these things. I've never heard anybody articulate it better. Because she said your daughter that you say all these sweet things to, that she can be everything that she wants to be, she is going to go into that work environment that you are in, that you are not working to ensure gender parity. I mean, how simple is that? How simple. So those two women, in terms of women empowerment, I think that they have mainly driven my interest and shaped my thinking about that.
And also it speaks to, as you talked, the role that men have to play as part of empowering women, empowering their women, their wives. And that's important that, you know, that the women have the children, but the children are not just the woman's responsibility alone.
And I think that some men get a little concerned when you start talking about women's empowerment. But when you bring it down to the level of your daughter, yes, what would you want? Would you want your daughter to have access to, you know, gender parity, all the opportunities? That is how you get men to think a little differently. Right. So we need men. We don't want men to be women. We don't want to take anything away from men. So we need men to help push this agenda forward. But when you put it in terms of your daughter, my dad, God bless him, it was super important to him that his daughters become financially independent. And I think for a very conservative man growing up in Africa, I would say for his daughters, that was his number one wish. It makes sense. We need the men too.
And I saw that, I witnessed that at the conference we had in Philly. It was a lot of men coming from Ghana speaking, and you were able to articulate and speak to them in such a way where everybody was invested. Everybody was important. The women was important, the men was, but everybody was invested. No one was lording anything over no one. And I watch you do that because you have put out the thought that this could be your daughter. How would you want your daughter to be successful in the progress and not block her, right? And encourage her. Very important. I like how you put that. I want to ask you, are you mentoring anyone? Are you training anyone? Who is going to, the work you've been doing, you said for decades, is amazing. But have you thought about who's going to follow behind you, continue your cause? Because yours is a cause now. It's more than just the U.S. Ghana Chamber of Commerce. You have a cause that has become a movement, part of a movement. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's important. I surround myself with a lot of young women. I think they are so much smarter. and they have the energy to do the things that, but I think that what I'm doing with these women is sowing seeds, right? Sowing seeds, I'm investing in them. It is very important. For example, we brought the second lady of Ghana to Philadelphia, I think in 2018. And we needed to do the catering for the event. I have a choice of just paying a hotel and let them do something, or giving a young lady the opportunity to do that catering and also add to her resume. Clearly, having her do that was more work and more tedious, but we did it anyway, because the for me, the rewards are to wait all of the hustle, right? And I see that that young lady is part of the movement that we are building towards women, gender parity, opportunities for women. She's involved in the conference, and that makes me happy. And in even coming up with the programs, the ideas for the conference, is these young ladies that we sort of gave opportunities to. And they are the ones basically running the program now. So I think that my hope is that we are sowing these seeds, we are investing in these people. There's no doubt in my mind that these young ladies will carry on, because it's become such an innate part of them, and they do it without thinking. And so I am, that is what makes me most happy.
Powerful. And you're building for the future. That's what's underneath.
And
you,
they are. Yes.
Building for the future. It thinks about all the, I know, brother, but you got your daughters here today. They're here, they're listening to all the shows, getting all this information. What's your thoughts as you hear Madame Florence talk about the importance of our girls building for the future? I mean, one of your daughters is doing coding. I mean, just this younger generation, they just like, they're taking over the world. They're taking it on.
I think one of the things that I think about is the influence the woman has on a man. In our society, a lot of men do things to impress women. So the women have hold a high standard when it comes to the quality of men that are in this world also. A lot of women don't recognize the power that they have. So when I see women that are going out here, my daughters, I'm trying to train them up to be educated, strong black women. So coding, you know, my youngest daughter does dancing. But I'm trying to get them in the mindset of being their own leaders, being leaders, not followers. You know, staying out of anything that's negative, being positive, you know, because your mindset is everything. So trying to keep their minds on a positive frequency at all times, and attracting those positive situations and opportunities to themselves. And yeah.
How old are your daughters again, Marisha?
Mackenzie is 11. Gabriella is 8.
And already they fire. striking
six.
A match.
She's 6. I'm sorry.
11 and 6.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, women are influential to men. Men do things to try to impress women.
And you said women don't rise the power they have. Florence, what's your thoughts as you hear him speak?
You see, Ajoel, I think that he speaks the truth, doesn't he? He does. I love everything he said. Women recognizing we all play different roles in a family unit. And so if women understand their power and their influence and they use it constructively, I think everybody benefits. So I agree with everything he said.
I like that. I like it. The rise of the African woman once again. As we begin to wrap, I want to ask you, Florence Torrance Hart, you know, with the work you do and all the seeds you plant, and how will you want to be remembered? What the generations to come, what will you want them to remember about you? How will you want them to write your story, if you could think of some words? Have you thought about that?
Oh my God. I would say that that's a very difficult thing. But I would say that I am motivated by results. And I'm motivated by making a difference in whatever capacity that you find yourself in. And I think that there's some value to doing things because it is the right thing, and not necessarily because being very calculating about it. I do understand that in business, sometimes you have to be strategic and stuff like that. I'm not saying that it's a wrong thing. But for me, these things that I do it because it is I grew up in Africa, in a point where I saw or I understood what the lack of financial independence can do to a woman, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, financially. So if there is something that I can do to lift somebody out of that or to shine a light on that, I think I would want to do that. When I was going to business school, when I wrote my essay for my MBA class, I stated exactly that, economic and financial empowerment of women. And at that time, it was just an idea. But, you know, the graduate admissions person called me after he read my essay and said he was going to move heaven and earth to get me into the school. I was surprised. But even, Tamika, when I wrote that, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just thought, but I just spoke something into existence.
Exactly.
And now what do I do?
Exactly.
And doing the same thing that I wrote, 20 years ago? And so I would, that is what I would like to be remembered, doing it because it's the right thing. And hopefully having enough people that are impacted by the work that we all do, right, to move to the next level, whatever it is for them.
Love it. Powerful. You spoke into existence. It's a book called As a Woman Thinketh, As a Man Thinketh. The power in verbiage, you talk about this all the time. A thought, it starts with a thought, and then it grows. And then it's a seed, and then it grows to this big oak tree. It manifests. And I think we talked about that last week. We talked about the media. Brother Ty talks about the Africans' problem is that they don't believe they can achieve. That was very powerful. He summed that up. We were talking about media, the importance of getting our story out there. And a Zimbabwe scholar, he says the same thing. We got to believe in ourselves, and we can manifest.
And tell our
yes.
And tell own stories, which is what you're doing.
Yeah, tell our own and hear other people's stories, hearing your story, hearing Brother Richard's stories. Y'all empowering women, daughters right now. You're empowering them right now. Our future Nzingas, our future's Winnie Mandela's, all these future, our future's Florence Torrance Hart's, our future. We right now, you're planting the seeds, and I'm just glad I got a side seat with a big bucket of popcorn just to watch it. This is our time. It's been amazing having you on. The interview has been brilliant. You are one of a kind, Florence Torrance Hart. I'm sure your parents recognized that when you were born. You were one of a kind. give some final words to the budding entrepreneurs, agripreneurs there, our young women. What's something they should keep in mind to inspire them and to not give up? Give them some encouragement before you go.
So I would say this, understand the opportunity that is before you now. Years ago, women did not have the same opportunities that the young ladies have now. You have more independence, you have more resources, and so please take advantage of it. Don't be afraid. Right? We grew up at a time when women were supposed to be put in particular boxes. Now, women are a little more free. We are not all the way free, but we are freer, right? Please don't limit your dreams. Don't let your gender define how far you think you can go and what you can do. Take advantage of the opportunities that are available now. Secondly, as I said, don't be distracted. Bring some focus to the moment now and understand what business opportunities are available and calling and tap into that. Because it's very easy to sit down and talk about, oh my God, things that are going wrong. But if things are going wrong, they are waiting for somebody to make it right. And so make sure that you're understanding that opportunity and taking advantage of it and moving forward.
Powerful, powerful. Florence Torrance Hart, thank y'all. We have a special guest, Madame Florence Torrance Hart, on today. Gave some very powerful points, a lot of good points for entrepreneurs, business owners to take up. as they're building their business, thinking about their business. A couple of things she had mentioned is think about why you are doing your business. Very important. Some people don't know why. they may have heard something. Somebody told them, go ahead and do it, and they tried. Like some people like, oh, you can be a singer. Then you hear them sing. You're like, why did somebody tell you that you could sing? So why are you doing it? Another point Florence brought up is have a business plan. Very, very important. Third point, understand the business process. Another very important point, everything isn't shortcut. Everything's not going to happen overnight. Another point she keeps reiterating is focus. Focus, and she's right. Barbara, you talk about this all the time, all the distractions going on. Focus, focus, focus. Another point is every business opportunity has a solution. I love that. Every business opportunity has a solution. And the last thing she had mentioned, understand how to get your story out. That's very important. That's why media is so important. Right now, we're getting stories out, all of our stories. And she mentioned that goes into your branding and your marketing. But the last thing she said, that if things are going wrong, someone could make it right. It may be you. That's going to make maybe, you know, Richard is making it right with his radio, his media. Florence is making it right by bringing entrepreneurs, agripreneurs together against the across the diaspora. All these different ways, despite all of our challenges, the racism that's going on, all the generational issues we have, people are doing things to make it right. I love it. This has been an amazing interview. Madame Flo, I can go another hour with you, but I can't. People got things to do today. His daughters want to eat dinner, lunch. But thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for accepting the invitation, Florence, to come on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And folks, don't forget March, the next conference, that's going to be in Accra, right, Florence?
Accra. Yes, in Accra, the Accra International Conference Center.
Okay, and that's March 15th and
16th? So we'll share the conference information with you.
Okay, and we'll put that on our social media. Okay, folks.
Absolutely.
So our folks in Ghana, Ghanaian women, get ready for that. We sponsored 2 people last year. We would sponsor 5 people, 5 women to go because they had such a fabulous time. And we're going to get ready for that. Yeah, yes. We're going to. They need to be
thank
there
you.
Right with y'all at your feet listening. So, folks, thank y'all. We had an excellent show today talking about African women trailblazers who are challenging the narrative and changing the narrative of entrepreneurship for our women across the diaspora. Thank y'all so much. Again, we're going to have Sama the Great, another one who is challenging and changing the narrative. Zambia. This is Zambia. Yeah, fire. Little small country, but producing all this fire. Folks, thank y'all again, family. Appreciate everybody. Peace and blessings, everyone. Africa 500.
Afford to cover the course, of course, maybe settle that one in court. Cause judging by the basics, y'all already comfortable, stuck up in the matrix. Shit is basic, past credentials, but understand your favorite rapper, peep my gold potential. I'm out of shame, been passive, trying to fit the circle cause I don't know how to act shit. Half of y'all is steady, insecure, don't try to backflip. Just because the seasoning and flow's already active. Only 4 years, fantastic, young veteran, new classic. Knock the walls off, fuck the whole key, we gon' hinge the whole door off. I'm still AD, never forget it. It's life after death, roll the credits.
I hate to say my feelings for you still exist.
Credit my maker, take a trip to see Jamaica. Molly spirit with the vapor, back to Zion, that's the nature. Africa, the new America, I hope I earn is permanent. And this, I put my pen in, they got my land and my permit with it. Bone on my bone, flesh on my flesh. Witness in me, you can't make me feel less. Let's hold, I'm not impressed. Best mode, got my afro like an empress. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Black power.
Somebody ate the food they told the great to never eat. I'm tripping, DNA sees like I'm born gray. I be mad 2 G's, third world in it, first world I dated. No mentor, all my heroes assassinated. We been here, reincarnated. Tryna finish what they started and we made it. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.